From SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress based on.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
Today on Youth Express, Pittsburgh youth talk about brotherhood, read original poetry, and share reflections on the effects of the achievement gap between black and white students at their schools. First, let's hear from Marvin of Holy Family Academy and Darren, Christian, and Jay Sean of Woodland Hills High School. They had a conversation about the responsibilities of being an older brother through a back and forth, pen pal style message exchange, recorded in March 2017.
Hello everyone, my name is Marvin Reed, and I'm from Alcoba. I'm 15 years old. I was outside with my friends, and my brother was there. They were in the alley behind the house. I told them I was going to meet them in the front to go get my bike and we'll all ride. They said okay, so they decided. My brother is autistic, by the way, and so he doesn't really know that much better, but I'm trying to have him as like everybody else would, and you know, he's like an everyday kid. So he follows my friend, and he's speeding down his alley with his bike, and he flies out in the middle of the road. And the car misses Michael and smacked my brother, and I came out and I heard like a gunshot. Now, I don't care if it's a gunshot or anything. If my brother's out there, I'm best believe I'm going out right behind him. Like, that's my family. I'm going to protect that. So I ran over there. I was in shock. I didn't know what to do. You could see bone, and I almost passed out. I'm not going to lie. I was crying. I was clenching my brother's hand because I didn't know what to do because I thought he probably broke some ribs. He didn't even know what happened. He was sitting there like in shock and he was crying because I was crying. So I wiped my tears off my face and I was holding his hand the whole time. I don't know why I feel this so much, but I probably almost consider dying over my brother because I wouldn't let nothing happen to him. So that's how serious, I'm letting y'all know how serious I am with that. Like if he ever got bullied in school, I don't care how big the kid is, I'm coming to that school and I'm beating him up right there. So, and he got life flighted to the hospital, Children's Hospital. My stepdad came, he couldn't believe it. He threw his truck into second gear and flew into someone's yard. He got out, left the door open, everything. He was in shock because the ambulance came and everything, cops, everything. Everybody was there. Ambulance took him and my stepdad, over to this field where this big helicopter came down and scooped him up. And me and my Nana, with my mom in the car and everything like that, we all just left in one car and went straight to the hospital where my brother was. But they gave him something so he wouldn't really feel the pain. And, you know, just sitting there watching him, I was still in shock. Like, I had no idea how that happened. And the whole way I'm thinking that's my fault. I told him to go down there and meet me in the front. And my brother's recovered. He's fine and stuff like that. He's going to have a wound on his left leg for the rest of his life. What would you have done in my situation that I was in? I mean, ever since that time, I've always been depressed and stuff like that because I couldn't believe I let that happen. My mom, like, trusted me and stuff like that. Brought me out there. She still does, but I don't trust myself with him.
Hi, my name's Christian. I go to Woodland Hills Junior Senior High School, and I'm 12. If I was in that situation, the first thing I would do, because I always have my phone in my pocket, is call 911. And then when I'm done with that, I would probably went nuts, like, asking what happened. I would just see if he was breathing or anything. Just make sure he's alive.
My name is Josh Hahn. I go to Woodland Hills Junior Senior High School. I'm 13 years old. If I was you, Marvin, like in your situation about your brother, I would have did the same thing. But I would have probably dealt with it a different way. I would have probably spazzed out or something. I would have went off, like crazy went off.
Hi, my name is Darren. I'm 12 years old and I go to Woodland Hills Junior Senior High School. Something similar happened to me. I was out from my dad's house in Stanton Heights, and my brother always goes to his friend's house, like, up the street and up the hill. And he always, like, wanders off whenever he wants to because my dad just lets him for some reason. So one day, he went up the hill, and that day, my dad and my stepmom left,
and I was supposed to be watching him. So he went up the hill, and for some reason, I just stayed and played my game because I didn't really want to do anything that day. I went outside to look to see where he was, and I see all of his friends running down the hill talking about, "Where's your dad? Where's your dad?" And I just, I guess, went in shock, and I just stood there, and I didn't know what to do. I was like, "Where's Michael? What happened?" And they said, "He's bleeding. He's bleeding." I didn't know what to do. So I start following them, and I see my little brother in the woods just laying there on the ground with his foot bleeding all out. I don't know what happened, but he might have just cut something on his foot, but it was so bad. His bone was popping out, and I don't know if he was in a fight or something, but he had a black eye. His foot was cut. He was holding his ribs. Like, I did not know what to do. At the time, I didn't have a phone. I was younger. So first thing I did was I ran back to my house and used the house phone, and my dad rushed to the house so we can go to the woods. In that moment, I felt like I had to do something because I was the only man in the house. I felt like it was my job to protect him when I should have been watching him. So yeah, I know what you're talking about when you went in shock, and I know how you feel.
You just heard from Marvin, Darren, Christian, and Jay Sean on Youth Express sharing their reflections on the responsibilities of being an older brother. Next, we'll hear from Emily and Taylor, students at the Ellis School with original poems on their personal identities, recorded in June 2015.
I'm Emily Wolf, and this is my poem, I Stand Before You Thusly. I stand before you thusly. I'm accused of enthusiasm in a place where coldness is cool. We are not supposed to show the pulsing warmth that lies beneath our skins. The unabashed enjoyment of the world around us is twisted into childishness, which is seen as something to grow out of. If you don't, you are failing and must grow up. When we sing with joy, a cynic scoffs. When we wonder with wide eyes, someone cruelly says we should have known. When Liz does something silly, an adult says stop. When you do something poorly, they laugh at you. When I share uncommon things I love, I'm treated with condescension three times over. To openly enjoy something here is weakness. To love with all your heart here is foolishness. To vehemently and genuinely radiate pleasure here is ridiculous. To look at the world with the wonder it deserves here is stupid. I am accused of enthusiasm, and I will not stop.
Sentence by Taylor Robinson. I am accused of being self-expressive, as if I can create and destroy my feelings. I cannot. Free speech was given to me at birth, Bertha. But suddenly speech is only free when the message is acceptable. Just my interpretation of the situation. Someday someone will say, stop the lying, stop the fakes. 100 years a slave to what you never said and what you will never say.
Those were original poems by Emily and Taylor on personal identity. Today's last Youth Express segment comes from a group of Pittsburgh Public School students on achievement gaps at their respective schools. This is from December 2015.
I'm Shania Brimmond, and I'm a senior at City Charter High School. Joining me are...
Indaya, I'm from City Charter High School.
Allie, I'm from Obama Academy.
Jordan, I'm from Westinghouse.
Today we'll be discussing the achievement gap in the Pittsburgh Public Schools.
So at my school, we wanted to start a Black Student Union, but we went around, since we don't have... We have like maybe two Black teachers in our school. We went around asking white teachers if they would be our leader. And I think 5 out of 6 of them said, no, there should be a white student union. And right then and there, there was a bell in my head like, wow, there is such a disconnect. These are the people teaching us. These are the people instructing us and preparing us for the world. I feel like there's such a disconnect. It's hard to learn something from somebody when there's that huge of a miscommunication and that huge of a disconnect. Also, just even the disconnect in like history courses. So at my school, Obama, all we have learned about since I've been there since 6th grade is European history. If I've learned anything about my history in any way, shape, or form, it's been we were slaves, Martin Luther King, yay February, cool, not all of us love chicken. That's been the extent of me learning about myself in my school. And that's the truth. That is the truth, and I'm going to be blatant about it. If we were taught things that had to do with us, I feel like there would definitely be less of an achievement gap. I feel like people would actually be engaged in the conversations in class and like actually want to learn these things. But when we've been learning the same things since the 6th grade, which is a 6 through 12 school, when we've been learning the exact same things over and over again, you sort of just lose yourself in the I'm just going to get a grade because clearly they don't care enough about me, so why should I care about this? And then it kind of like disconnects you from wanting to go to college because it's like, am I going to be learning about this in college too? Like, where am I going to learn about me? You know, you're thinking to yourself, do I really want to do formal education? Like, my teachers don't even care about me. I don't learn about myself. Do I really want to do this anymore? That's what I've been thinking, but I've had conversations with people. And so I can only imagine what it would be like for somebody who hasn't had the privilege to talk to somebody about that kind of stuff.
Oh, I think that they should not update the curriculum a little bit. We've been, since we're taught the same thing, we have like all these old textbooks and stuff. Like, when are we going to get some new textbooks in order to learn new things? So I don't think anything's updated.
I think you guys should transfer to Westinghouse just for the history class with Mr. Means, because like what you said, Allie, is like basically what he tells us all the time. And like what you're saying about curriculum, he went through the district curriculum and we're doing like his own curriculum that he's created like in African American history, specifically for us. He keeps you engaged, and he really goes the extra mile with when he teaches you, because he has class discussion. We have a productive class discussion every day, and you go in, there's no horseplay in his class. I can go in any other class any other time during the day, and some will be tapping on the table, people will be up dancing, grinding on each other, for like playing music out of their phones. Even in like the library, they'll play music loud through their phone. But when you go into his class, it's completely quiet. And we've had discussions about, you know, Syria and ISIS. And we've had discussions about racism. And like, we are entering into the achievement gap. And we have had discussions today about the achievement gap and why people think that, you know, Black students perform so much lower than white students do on tests. And we've been doing that for like the past couple of days. And it's been like enlightening. And has allowed me to vent a lot of my frustrations about teachers and students, because I think it's too much. It's very much of a symbiotic relationship. You know, it's just as much the student's job to learn as it is the teacher's job to teach.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org. Youth Express, catch the future.